This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside a sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path, was sown on the path. As for what it was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord, the word of God. Okay, be seated, please.
I say good afternoon to you. Thank you. I would like you to close your eyes. No, it's not nap time. It's time to use your imagination. Now, picture in your mind, if you would, this image. Jesus, crowded by many people seeking his wisdom, stepping into a boat and sitting down to teach while the crowd stood on the bank in anticipation. Now, why didn't he just have the disciples push the crowd back? Why the boat? Was Jesus claustrophobic? Did he need some breathing room? Perhaps he just wanted to get a better look at the multitude. Now, try to get a closer look at the faces of this gathering. standing next to you. Look into their eyes and see what they see. Feel the emotion of the moment. Sense the excitement. You are part of this group, good people, seeking some type of divine connection and revelation. Jesus was the answer man, the miracle worker, and he was about to give a lecture. And whatever the topic, you knew it was going to be powerful, and you would be changed because he always spoke as one having authority. So now, he has your attention, the crowd's attention. Every eye is fixed on that boat. The water is eerily calm. The wind has been hushed. The only sound is that of the boat gently rocking, the water lightly tapping the outside of the boat. And he begins. Now, open your eyes. Stay in that moment and listen to his words again. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, he spoke a parable, or a modern-day story. Our word parable comes from the Greek parabole, which means a placing beside. So, it's a comparison, an illustration, or an analogy. Its most common use in the New Testament is for the illustrative stories that Jesus drew from nature and human life. Synoptic Gospels contain about 30 of these stories. So parables are usually stories out of ordinary life used to illustrate spiritual or moral truths, sometimes in the form of brief similes, comparisons, analogies, or proverbial sayings. Now, ordinarily, they had a single main point, and not every detail was meant to have significance. Where he begins this series of parables is interesting because he kicks it off with a parable that speaks to what we hear and how we respond to what we hear. We use this text to describe the process of sowing and reaping, investing and return on investment, deposits and withdrawals. In addition, this parable contains some great insight as to how to get the most out of life, not just here, but in the afterlife or the hereafter as well. And after all, Jesus was talking about the news of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to step back and view these words today in the context of soul-winning evangelism, talking to others about our faith, using our gifts to bring people into a relationship with Christ. I think the church's mission should always be to bring people into relationship with Him, a better way of life. The seed would represent the word or the message. Our God, our God-given gift and talents, the dispersing and sharing of our relationship with Christ. Okay? So let's look at some of that insight. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, I grew up in the city, so I didn't know many farmers. On road trips, I saw them, I met them, and I heard them speak. Farmers know something about making a living. They know what it means to work. Farmers have a work ethic, an attitude, like the one that told his son, who was complaining about work, that he only had to work half days, and he didn't care which 12 hours he chose. Think about that. The farmer tells his son he only has to work half days. He didn't care which 12 hours he chose. Normally we only work about 8 hours a day. It would be 4 hours, right? A little bit different, huh? Farmers know that if they don't put in the ground, then it will never spring up out of the ground. You don't plow a field in your mind. You need to get after it. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. And that's from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Now, our problem many times comes in our willingness to act upon the things that we say. Walk the walk, right? To move in the direction of what we desire. Now, unfortunately, we often don't get what we desired, but rather what we expected. We desire some things that we feel God placed in us, but we never truly expect them to happen. It would be great if they did, but God has got to be very busy, very busy. We have a hard time believing that God could possibly care about our life, our plans, and our family. But he does. Many folks think he's too busy taking care of Mr. and Mrs. Copeland, the Benny Hins, and the Charles Stanleys to get into our stuff. Perhaps he is only waiting for the attitude of the farmer to get a hold of us. Get out and sow. To start scattering seed. You and I have experiences with the Lord for the purpose of passing those experiences on to someone who hasn't yet had it. The farmer was scattering seed, and some of it fell by the wayside, off of the path. Now, Jesus was referring to folks who did not get it, who heard the message but failed to comprehend it. They did not understand. They didn't take it to heart, and therefore it did not feed them. So the birds came and ate it up. And the birds represent the evil influences that rob us of the harvest that we are destined to have. We've all got birds in our life. Why, somebody may have given you the birds sometime today. The fact is, they do nothing but eat that which is not invested into the soil. The seeds that we have must find their way to the soil. In our view of this text today, think of the path or the soil as the objects of our evangelistic efforts. You understand what I'm saying there? Our use of our gifts must be strategic and intentional, aimed towards people looking for answers. Evangelizing the lost doesn't always feel great. How do you feel when you see the birds flying in and flying off with what you are scattering? One thing that I've found is that I discourage easily if I feel like I missed the mark, failed to connect, or just wasted the seed. Now, some seed will take and some won't. Discouragement comes if you keep looking at the seed the birds carried off rather than watering what was planted and keeping an eye on the soil in anticipation of the harvest. Remember, it is God that provides the growth. We plant and water. We need more people who nurture others on their journey of faith, to walk alongside until those seeds start to germinate. We seem to enjoy the buffet approach, the all-you-can-eat attitude. We want to open the door and say, here it is. Get in there and get it. Some folks need to be loved or escorted into the family of God. Shoo the birds off and stop letting them take away the seed that were intended to produce a bountiful believer. Some of the seed fell on rocky places where there was no depth. Since the soil was shallow, they sprang up quickly, but soon the sun came out, and guess what happened? They burned out. They were scorched. Now again, we need to stay connected to God and connected to those we share our faith with. Often we see the progress of the new convert and decide that it's time to move on and reach the world, and the sun hasn't even come out yet on the person we have shared with. The trials start in their life, things heat up, and since there is no depth, they burn out and fall back into their old ways. Outreach is more than that. Don't just get the message to the people. Get it into the people. Don't just get the message to the people. Get it into the people. Rocky places could represent people that many folks often overlook, those that may not be in your normal circle of friends. The central part of the plan of evangelism is relationship. That's why so many would stand on the shore and listen intently to the Lord as he spoke from the boat, because they felt his heart, his sincerity, his compassion. They knew that he truly cared about their lives. Without relationship, withering takes place, and ultimately they perish because they had no root. The root grows with teaching, mentoring, discipleship, going alongside someone until they get a grip on the foundation and it becomes a lifestyle when they reach maturity, until they have depth. That way, trouble and persecution won't be able to take them out of the game. Now, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the very life out of them. One of our values is fellowship. The joining together of believers and non-believers to share life experiences with each other. When I was a Boy Scout and we would go camping and hiking, it never failed that no matter what, every time we would come across a briar patch, It was the highlight of my day. No matter what I did to get through it, I always had a cut or tear in my clothes on the other side, because that is what thorns do. They hinder progress. They tear away your protection, and ultimately, they pierce you to the bone if you get too close to them. But the fact is that thorns don't harm you unless you get in the middle of them. I think many people, we develop our relationships with folks. I think many times we develop our relationship with folks and we start to disciple them, but we fail to express the necessity of their associations and relationships. No matter how big and tough you are, or you think you are, the thorns of life will stop you and choke the life out of you if you get mixed up with them. The Bible tells us that evil company corrupts good habits. If you keep running back to the briar patch, you'll keep returning with the scars of that visit. We need fellowship, building community with those that will not tear us apart, cut us to the bone, or halt our forward progress. Jesus pointed out that the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches and wealth will go to take our breath away, to choke life out of us if we are not connected to our oxygen supply. Encouragement is oxygen to the soul. We encourage each other. We focused on the best that could possibly happen. Why? Because what we focus on will develop. Focus on things that cause increase and not decrease. Hanging with the wrong folks disables your capacity to be fruitful. But there is another place that our gift or seed falls that the Bible refers to as good soil. Good soil produces a crop. It's here where you see your gift keep on giving. The ultimate evangelism experience. It's knocking on the door and being welcomed in by a hungry seeker. It's watching your antagonistic, backstabbing coworker as they transform into a caring, selfless friend. It's an altar call that happens spontaneously, where no one drives you to the altar. The Holy Spirit draws you. It's that season when you have spent yourself for others and you see the fruit manifesting in their lives. All because you went out to sow. You took the time to scatter the seed, and you stayed with the plant until it became strong enough to stand on its own and become fruitful. This is the place we long to be sharing His message and finding a seeking heart and watching the transformation that occurs as the Word gets in, and then that Word starts to come out. The only difference between this soil and the thorn bushes was productivity. Fruit. God's promise to us as we share our faith is that not only will we produce more who trust Him, the ones we produce will reproduce and the church will grow. That is His plan. In other words, there will be a windfall profit. My desire is that we will be a church that shares faith experiences, the good and the bad, because that is how we learn. I long to be a part of a community of faith that cares about people and lets them know how much we care by our actions. A church that is determined to see others find a life that is filled with peace, His peace, and joy, His joy. Where can we find that kind of life? In His presence. I know that there can be great difficulty in getting the ball of relationship evangelism started. It's scary many times if you focus on the beginning rather than the outcome. Use what's in your life to reach out into someone else's and be a friend first. Jesus took every opportunity to share with those that surrounded Him. He loved them. He gave them insight into their own lives and showed them how they could connect with Him in a deeper way and what the benefits would be in making that connection. There's wisdom in what I'm sharing with you today. From Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. What seed will you scatter today? Connect with him, and then connect with someone else. Amen. Let me explain this to you. When we have the tabernacle, the whole idea of the tabernacle is to keep you keep the consecrated hosts. That would be something similar to that. And just have a top on it normally, because that's what we do. And put the, so if those hosts I just ate, the two we had, if we had more than that, I would put those in here, and I'd place them in the tabernacle. And then the next time we had service, I wouldn't have to bless those. Those were already blessed. They're ready to go. And then this is the way of respecting, it's a way of respecting those, that host, the Eucharist, as blessed. And so we keep it there in the tabernacle, put away. So we'll put this there for now. And I will, when we come up with some money, I will order us a new, it's really pretty. It's a lot like that one, but a little bit smaller. And it's got a top on it. It's got a cool cross on the top of it. I don't even remember seeing that, Gavin. It was very pretty. Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. And it would fit in here perfectly and would hold that. So that would sit it there. Now, here in the Catholic Church, they, of course, believe that the bread and wine are the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So that's this, where our tradition of the red candle comes from. That's part of it. The red candle would mean that the inside the tabernacle is blessed sacrament, which is blessed body and blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that's actually that. We don't believe that in our religion here, in our faith. But we do believe that it's a holy symbol of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we offer respect to it. You'll notice at times that we have the door open and the candle, this is really important if y'all understand all these, because they're very important. When the door is open and the candle is lit, it means that we need to offer our respect. And a lot of times people will genuflect like I do during service here, but it's a time you don't want to be, just be quiet. It's not allowed to be loud in here and everything else. You need to be respectful of that. You'll see on Good Friday that we actually, the tabernacle is there and it's open completely and there's no candles lit, no red candle lit. And that means when they leave just the door open, there's no candle lit, it means that there's no sacrament present. So it's a little, you don't have to offer the respect to the tabernacle, because that's not what we're praising there. We're offering our respect to God and to His gifts that He's given us. So when it's open like that, especially, that's why it's so moving for me on Good Friday, when you see that tabernacle open and just empty after, we know what's happening. We know Jesus Christ is getting killed. And there it is, empty in our church. Right? It's a good symbolism. So that's what you'll see here. When it's closed like that and the candle's lit, offer a little respect in the room, okay? If it's closed like that and it's not lit, okay, it's usually okay, but usually it's not going to be closed and not lit. Usually, here it may be, but in most cases, if it's a regular church, it'll be open if it's not lit. That means you can see that there's nothing in there, and it's that way, okay? Everybody understand that? You understand what we're doing with the tabernacle here? The tabernacle's very important. It's just a way of safeguarding our, what we consider holy, what we can want to offer respect to. Okay? All right. It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements. We're going to move through these quickly today. It's pretty standard announcements. I do have one special announcement at the end, but pretty much standard. We're just going to get right through these. Y'all know what they are. I just want to get them on here and get them done. We got to do it every week. We make sure everybody understands that. Okay, here we go. Yeah, maybe. All right. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. You got one of those? You need one of these. It's coming up right now. It's an email address, folks. feedback@dallasvlc.com. Very simple, very self-explanatory. All very important things we want to hear from you. feedback@dallasvlc.com. Did you know we had two podcasts? Two podcasts. We have two podcasts. Two. The one podcast you all know about, of course, is Your Path with Bishop Mark. It's been around for about 6 years now. It's our daily, our Sunday sermons, our services, and sometimes some special events that we have here at the church. All right there in our podcast for Your Path with Bishop Mark. Now, it's very simple to go check out Your Path with Bishop Mark. You just go to your favorite search provider and type in Your Path with Bishop Mark. Pretty self-explanatory there. Or you go to your favorite podcast provider out there and type in Your Path with Bishop Mark, and you can find us there as well. The nice thing about Your Path with Bishop Mark, we do also have, something called Alexa, which is through Amazon, I believe. Is that right? Alexa is Amazon. You can say, "Hey, Alexa, play Your Path." Yeah, anywhere in the world, you say, "Hey, Alexa, play Your Path," and it will play Your Path with Bishop Mark. It's pretty cool. Hopefully, all over the world right now, people are listening to this and they have it running, they'll be playing Your Path now on their Alexa. See how that works? Now, our newest podcast is Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. That's exactly what it sounds like. It is Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. Now, this is what I call the TikTok of podcasts. And the reason I call it that is because these episodes are only 3 to 5 minutes long. They're very short. So if you have an attention span issue, this is one for you. And I think you'll get some good stuff from it. Check it out. Let me know what you think. It's the same thing. If you want to check out Life Lessons with Rich Mark, you just go to your favorite search provider, type in Life Lessons with Rich Mark. Or you go to your favorite podcast provider, type in Life Lessons with Rich Mark, and you'll find us there. I guarantee we're out there. There are places at the end of the podcast to leave messages. You can leave voice messages. You can write messages, whatever. We want to hear from you, folks. Let us know. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you want more? Do you want something different?
You like the Life Lessons with Rich Mark.
What's that?
I
do too. I think they're brief to the point. I mean, you don't have to watch just one. If you want one or two, you can do that. Or if you have time for just catch a quick one on your way out the door, I like them too. I think they're to the point. To the point. Okay. Thank you, Gavin. I appreciate your approval of our podcast. There, it means a lot to me. All right, moving on. Pray@DallasTLC.com. Pray@DallasTLC.com. That's another email address for you, folks. If you have a request for prayer, that's where you're going to send an email. We pray every day here at Dallas Universal Life Church. You can ask that you can remain anonymous, or you can ask that your I'm sorry, let me try that again. You can remain anonymous, or you can just give your name. You can ask that your prayers be said during our daily prayers here at the church, or you can ask that your prayers be said through the entire congregation here on Sundays. That's pray@DallasULC.com. Okay. You know, you can make a difference. We are a church of all volunteers. Everybody here is a volunteer, including myself. None of us take a salary. And we rely on people like you out there in podcast land and YouTubeville and now the world, since we're really expanding our horizons out there, hopefully, and reaching more people. We only survive on our tithes here from our congregants and from the generosity of people out there in the world. And we could use your help. I know it's rough for everybody right now, and I am horrible at asking for money. It's not my favorite thing to do as a pastor or a bishop or anything else. I don't like it, but it's something that's a necessity for us to keep coming to you out there in the world. Unfortunately, we can't do computers and linens and lights and electricity for free. They just don't give it to us for free, and we have to pay for it just like everybody else. And in order for us to keep coming to you, we have to have those things. So please consider making a donation to Dallas Universal Life Church if you think that we have a thing going here that's worth it. Something that's worth getting out there. Something that's worth that people need to hear. I think people need to realize that the word Christianity has lost its luster. The true meaning of Christianity has been lost in translation somewhere. And I want to get people to see that again. And the only way we can do that is to keep our doors open and keep talking about it. So please consider making a donation to Dallas Universal Life Church. Simply go to DallasULC.com. Click on the button for donate. All of your contributions are tax deductible. We are a nonprofit organization, and we would appreciate your help. Now, always I get somebody coming to me after I talk about getting money, and they say, Bishop, I love the church. I wanted to be part of the church, but I don't have any money. I can't tithe. I can't donate anything. Well, that's very simple. All you got to do is do what I do. Do what it's all do. We're volunteers. Just volunteer. Your time is your money, and we could always use the help. There's never enough hours in the day here. So there's always something that's left undone. So please, go to DallasFieldC.com. Click on the button for volunteer. There you'll see a list of the positions we have available. If you don't like something on that list, you don't see something that floats your boat, come on anyway. There's, like I said, there's always something to do. And we like new eyes and new perspectives as well. It helps us to kind of keep things new and fresh. And it's a good way to meet and greet and kind of get to know your fellow congregants as well. So please, go to DallasFieldC.com. Click on volunteer. Sign up there. Or you can just come in and see me, and I'll definitely put you to work. I promise. Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about this earlier, this beautiful tabernacle that we now have. Let me just give you a little backstory on this. Okay, 2 years ago now, a little over 2 years ago now, there was a robbery here in the church. And unfortunately, thank God I was the only one here. I'm glad I was the only one here. But unfortunately, I was here. And one of the last things I remember from the evening, it was, let's just put it this way. There was an assault that happened as well, and I was probably a little loopy by the time these guys left the church here. But the last thing I remember was one of the gentlemen, the tabernacle used to sit here with a table here. There's a back altar here and a table here. We've changed it since then, but he used to sit here. And he was walking out the door, and as he walked out to go out the door, I was back there. He's walking out the door. He reached over and grabbed the tabernacle and stuffed it under his arm and walked out with it. It was the final thing they stole, I guess. Not sure what they were going to do with our tabernacle, but there you have it. And it's been over two years since we've had a tabernacle here, just because the cost alone was just out of our means, and we just couldn't afford it. So through the gracious gift of a donor who wishes to remain anonymous, we have tabernacle again, and it's meaningful to me. It means a lot to me. I know it's just a box for some people, but this may put a little bit of closure on what happened 2 years ago, which has been very difficult for me personally, and I know for many people in the church. So continue to pray for those who are involved in this. They need our prayers. And continue to pray for this church and it growing. And I thank that donor out there who, personally, I know that that person could not afford it either. And put themselves out to make sure that we had a tabernacle. And I can't thank them enough. So there you go. Big thank you to that donor. It means the world to me. And I just want them to know that it really does. It means a lot to me. I know it means a lot to the congregants here too. And I think it's going to be, it's part of our church. It's part of who we are. It's part of our identity. And I'm glad to have it back. And I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But, okay. And that's going to do it for our announcements. All right. Let's rise for our dismissal.
Bishop a Day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
What did you like? What did you not like? What do you want to keep? What do you want to get rid of? What are we talking about today, guys? I'm going to really try. I'm trying. It's on y'all. Let's go.
One of the things that I got to say.
Nice and loud from you, Gavin.
One of the things I got to say that I liked, I guess, was the fact that it related a lot to basically sowing seeds. And where you plant the seeds, so location, 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 number one.
Okay. That's one way to look at it.
Because just for the simple fact that where you plant your seeds and where they grow is dependent on where they fall. So, in other words, if the soil is enriched or if the, whatever the case may be, or if it's too shallow, the roots...
What were the places? What were the places that the seed fell? In the story.
And the rocks.
The rocks, which was no soil, right? Mm-hmm. So shallow roots.
Which means it burned away, come down.
Okay, what else?
And then on the path, which means they ended up getting eaten by the bird.
Right, taken away. Right, so yeah. Nothing ever happened there. And then what else?
And then they finally fell and...
No, right. Missed one.
Thorns.
Thorns. Right? Okay, and then the other was the what? The soil.
The soil, yeah.
Now, here's what I'm going to test you now. We talked about those things. It's just a parable, right? So we're talking about it's taking things in life and putting it into a story, and they relate to each other. They're comparing it to each other, right? So we had the path where the birds came and got it. What was that symbolic of?
Of all the negative influences in our life, like basically... I guess the habits and things that can occur in our surroundings kind of influence us sometimes.
I think that's part of it, Gavin. I think we're talking about the birds were symbolic of evil.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. They come and take away. When we don't, we have our, the whole idea of this was what? We're talking about evangelizing, evangelization, about bringing people into the church, right?
Right.
That's how we related this to that. So when you have the people that were, that kind of fell on the path, They were there, but the evil came and took them away before we could do anything with them, right? We didn't take care of that. And what about the stony path, the rocky path, where the rock was? What happened there? You kind of mentioned this a second ago.
The rocky path, typically, it didn't have enough soil, so there were no roots, so come down. They sprang up quickly, but come down, they were burned away.
Right, because the sun just, there was no roots for them to oil, water, and get new nourishment to keep them alive. They just withered, right? And what about this? The thorns? What were the thorns?
The thorns got in the way, and they ended up soaking up all the water. And so they took away all the nutrients and all that.
Kind of. Think about more about the thorns. Actually, what the thorns did, what they threw. Remember talking about the briar patch?
Yeah, they strangled it.
They may have had good intentions to start with, and they grew, but the thorns of life kind of took over, and they fell back into their own ways. Old ways because we didn't take care of our people. People we're trying to bring to church, we have to what? We have to be there with them while they mature, while they feel their roots, while their roots grow, and while they can then stand on their own, and they can grow on their own, and deal with all of the stuff that comes with being a Christian, right? The ridicule and the hard times in life and those things, and use their faith and use those roots to then spread the message again to somebody else, right? Okay. Will?
I'm just going to say that even rose bushes have thorns.
They do.
And so a thorn's not going to fail just because it's a thorn. A thorn can still thrive in something even better.
It can.
It's considering if you show it care and love after the fact. After the thorns come, you can get to the rose point if you wanted to, but that would require you to persevere and still love it no matter what it is.
You're right. There's an old song. There's an old song that, and it's an old song. It's not that old. Every rose has its thorn, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the deal on that. Just very quickly, one of the things I said in the sermon was, you know, the parables that Jesus gave, normally they had one meaning, one specific meaning, and there might have been a lot of other parts of it that could be interpreted a lot of different ways and different things, and different this means this and means that, but it really wasn't meant like that. It was, this is the point he was trying to get across right here was this, and some of those forms, good, I like that you thought of that, and I agree with that, that you talk about the beauty of the rose with the thorns, it's, you know, kind of a double-edged a sword there, but the point is here, the thorns we're talking about is like a briar patch of just vines of thorns that can envelop you and kill you, kill whatever it's got in its grasp, in its grip. Right? That's what we're talking about there.
The modern day philosopher Will I Am said it best for Miss Jackson. Roses smell like cuckoo.
Really?
Yeah, it's a song. It's
really?
A,
yeah. Roses smell like cuckoo.
Yep. Yeah, they do.
Why would they say that?
Because they kind of do, and I've been told
never to get
said roses.
I love the way roses smell.
I have no problem with it.
I mean, I don't walk into a room and there's roses everywhere, and I just think, oh, shit.
I don't think that. My grandmother used to wear a perfume I loved. It was called Joy, and it smelled like pink roses. I think it was beautiful. I never smelled poo-poo in it. Maybe they just used too much manure in the soil.
What is that in the song? I just,
yeah. Whose song is that?
Will I Am.
Will I Am. See what happens?
Yeah, he's a DJ for a reason.
But I want to add something. I'll let you go.
I love what you do.
Whether you realize it or not, you're always sowing seed. Throwing seed. You never know how you're affecting others or how others are affected by you, what you do, what you say, day in, day out. You'll never know the impact, your full impact on others. You'll never know it.
No, you won't.
Unless they, in that, on occasion, you'll get someone in the past, you may not even remember them, but they remember you. You had an impact. You did something.
We just talked about this last, and it's so ironic about this. I got goosebumps when you said that because I was watching last week's sermon today as I was preparing for today, and one of the things I said was, you don't realize how many people in the world you come in contact with and that you affect. And the smallest thing you do to that person, or with that person, or for that person, not even for them, to do in front of that person, show them, they could change their life, and you don't even realize it. So the point is, look, it's the story I used about the guy who just lost his job, okay? His kids got taken away from him, he's walking down the street, and he just got his head down, and you're walking, and you walk by him, and you look at him, you look him in the eye and say, hey man, how's it going? What's up? And you keep on going. And he was heading toward that bridge you just crossed to jump. Mm-hmm. And you just saved his life because he just realized that somebody noticed him. Somebody noticed that he existed. You don't think of anything of it. All you do is smile and say hi. Sometimes a hello can be bigger than anything else you can do in the world. And I think if you remember that, you know, Words can be beautiful, but they can sure hurt. And sometimes we don't mean the things we do to hurt. We don't. We don't intend it that way at all, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And we don't think. And you have to really realize, always be aware of your surroundings. Always be aware of the people around you, because you are making a difference. You're influencing these people. They watch you. We talked about, a few weeks ago, we talked about Mother's Day and having, being, what was I talking about that week? About how we were examples for people. You know, even though we weren't mothers here, we are an example. It was Father's Day. It was actually Father's Day. We are fathers, but we are an example to the younger generation, or even sometimes the older generation. It doesn't really matter who, but people look up to us. And they expect, they will imitate what we do. They will, that's the biggest form of flattery there is imitation. And they will, and you need to watch what you're doing. As a Christian, first of all, there are certain things you should be living your life a certain way. And to be out there on the streets and look, have a good time. But there's no reason to take it over that level where you're showing others that things they don't need to see. Things you shouldn't be doing. Words you shouldn't be saying. Right?
Sure.
Because whether you know it or not, you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And people are learning from you. It all goes down. That's how the cycle of life works. And the people, they watch and they learn. And hopefully, we're able to pass on some of our experience to them to where they don't have to maybe go through quite as hard times as we do. We as well as hope that never happens, right? You know, we tell the teenagers that, well, just listen to me. Just trust me. Just listen to me. I've been there. And they go, I know, you old fool. I know what I'm talking about. Get away from me.
Right?
God, I wish I'd listened.
No,
I wish I'd listened. It would make my life so much easier.
I know it.
Sowing our seeds. This one, I really did think about you today, Baylor. I really did. I mean, it was a good one for you. I'm glad you're here.
That helped.
What about this evangelism thing? I've tried to really talk about this in a form of being an evangelist, bringing people into the church. That's a mission of a church anyways, to grow and to bring people and to spread this message of Jesus Christ and His love and His forgiveness and the way he His compassion toward us. Spreading that and that word out and telling people what the true definition of Christianity is, not the meaning that has infiltrated our planet, but the true meaning of Christianity by leading by example and bringing in people to church. What about that? We talk about it all the time. Bring somebody to church, right?
But I like what you said before that, also leading by example, because it's true, we are always being watched. And one of the things that I always do my best to is lead by example, by showing good morals and values, no matter what I do, and try and clean up.
It's not easy.
It's not. But sometimes, I've had my slip ups.
We all have.
I mean, because you know me, I got a mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it. But I do my best to show by example, by keeping the neighborhood clean or cleaning up here and there, by showing love and kindness and understanding. And sometimes, I'm not always the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
I am human, but that's still, I always put my best foot forward and do the very best that I can, no matter what.
And like I said, it's the little things sometimes that count.
True.
That. Holding the door for somebody, you know?
Exactly.
Sort of drop something, you pick it up for them. You're on the bus and somebody gets on and they obviously sit down. You get up. I don't care if it's a man or a woman or anything. You get up and let them sit down. You're able to stand. Right? Have you ever watched Munchkin and Dexter here? You ever watch them tool around the house?
Mm-hmm.
When Dexter got here, he had his own little, you know, he's kind of demure, his little puppy dog, you know. Have you watched how he, when Munchkin gets excited, he gets excited?
Mm-hmm.
When Munchkin barks a certain way, it has to come up. In the mornings, the ritual I have with the dog with Munchkin in the mornings, oh, come be good morning, good morning, good morning. He comes give you kisses, right? And he gets so excited, he comes gives you. Well, Dexter has picked up on that and does the same thing now. Mm-hmm. Or when I come in the door, I've been gone for a little while, Munchkin would go nuts, just screaming. Da, da, da. And now Dexter is doing the same thing. It's the same thing we're talking about there. He's emulating him. He thinks that's the way it's supposed to be. He sees that he's the older one who's, you know, more established here and knows what's going on, knows the ropes. That's what you're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he does. And that's what happens with us, too. We talk about being watched. I mean, everywhere you go now, you're on camera. We already know that. Everybody knows that. But that's important to remember. But remember the person that's just sitting over on the park bench watching you, watching what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not meant to be creepy. It's not meant to be to come off that way. It's meant to be, look, they're looking up to you.
Exactly.
You need to set an example for these people. This world's not going to get any better if we keep screwing it up and teaching our young adults or our children the habits that we hopefully are growing out of. Does that make sense? If we continue to build up this thug mentality out there, this street mentality, this machismo, that kind of crap out there, if Jesus wasn't that, and what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be Christians, right? Now, Jesus had his moments. Mm-hmm. When he needed to speak up, he spoke up. But he also was compassionate and loving and caring. And it's okay to be a man and be those things.
True that.
I talked to you, there's a person that I talked to that, y'all know who I've been, I'm not going to mention names, but you know, he had a rough life coming up. And he was brought up by the streets. So that's what he knows is the streets. And he knows the street game. And he knows the street laws and what goes on out there. Well, the laws on the street, they clashed with our laws as Christians. You know, like revenge and your street cred. Okay? And so when I'm counseling this person, I have to remember that, yes, they're thinking of their street, their reputation on the street. What are people going to say about them? What are they going to think? Are they going to think I'm weak because I didn't stand up to this person and kick their butt? Or I didn't go pull the gun and shoot them because they disrespected me? And it's hard to get that, to talk about both those things and then respect both of them, because you have to, because he's living in both worlds right now. And to kind of bring it together and say, look, you've got to make a decision that's going to be tough. And you're not, it's not going to, they're not going to like it out there. And they're going to ridicule you about it. But it's the right decision. Jesus said you were going to be persecuted for his sake, for his name. And that's what we're doing. That's what's happening. You're going to get put down and yelled at and spat upon, and it's going to happen in one way or another. He warned us about that. He already told us that. We knew that. It's coming. So how do we deal with that? Well, that's why you come to church here and we have fellowship and we lean on each other and we learn from each other and we talk about those things and we get through it together. Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to bring somebody to church or not? I've been waiting. I love looking at y'all's faces every day. I do. I mean, every Sunday. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. But you know what? I love seeing some new faces in here, too.
Well, I tried bringing someone to church. It's just they kind of like...
So try again.
Yeah, that's true.
Try again. Every week, try. You know, Gavin, when I go out, I like to talk about it as this damn church. Because you know why? Because it's so much a part of my life. And you know that. I mean, I don't expect anybody else to be as involved as I am. I mean, this is my baby, and I helped create it, and have nurtured it and worked on it and prayed about it, and God has, thank God, given us the opportunities we've got here. So I'm very much invested in it. So I talk about it all the time. You all know that. I mean, you're here, I'm watching the videos, I'm doing this, I'm talking about this. That's all I talk about is church sometimes. And I know it can get a little annoying. Mm-hmm. But if y'all just had a percentage of that out there on the streets and talked about, not even the church at times, but what has the church done for you? How does it change your life? How are you different from coming here? That could bring some people in here. I said, you don't have to be a Bible thumper. You don't have to go out there and start preaching. Just tell them what's done for your life, how it's changed you, how you feel. That's it. It's pretty simple. Talk about you. We're all good at talking about ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Short and sweet today, guys. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, I know there's a lot there. And there was a parable. It's interesting how we learned what a parable is. It came from the Greek word parabole, right? Mm-hmm. Which was about putting one thing next to another, comparing them, right? That's what the parable is. And it's normally about taking things in nature and in real life and comparing it to something in scripture, some sort of lesson that we need to be learning. That's what Jesus Christ did about 30 times with this in the Bible. So it's important. Obviously, if you did it 30 times, it's probably pretty important, mm-hmm, to understand what's going on there. He's spoken a lot of times in those parables, and they get translated a lot of different ways. Oh, they do.
True.
That's why I say you take everything with a grain of salt with that. You use your own mind that God gave you and think.
Does it make sense?
Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Does it fit with the rest of it? Discern yourself. Figure it out. God didn't give you a brain for you to waste it and then be a follower and go, oh, well, he said, so mm-hmm, he's right. That's it. I don't have to think about it. Use your brains. Bring somebody to church.
All right.
every week think about that. Every Sunday you're coming to church, thinking, you're coming to church, you're here for a reason. Why aren't you on the phone or out the street? You're talking. I'm out there talking. If I'm out, well, on the bus or whatever, I have my DULC shirt on all the time. I'm talking to doctors about it, talking to people on the bus, talking to, and I love talking about the church. It's changed my life. I know it's changed y'all's too, y'all's even don't admit it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's pray our way out of here. I'm ready to get some dinner. And we're going to kidnap Baylor for a little while tonight, so I'm glad to have him back. One of these days we're going to get him here. One of these days we're going to get him here when we're all, because I love Baylor's insight. He's always good at it. You okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come together this evening and praise you as we so rightfully should. So many in this world do not have this opportunity, do not have the freedom to just say, I love you, God. And we do. We love you, God. Thank you for the parables that Jesus has given us. Thank you for the ability to read those and understand those and interpret those in our own way and in our own understanding so that we can make this world a better place. Lord, we ask you to watch over us this week. We ask you to watch over all who are out on the streets and do not have a place to call their own. We ask for you to watch over our families and keep them safe. And bring us back here next week for a wonderful, beautiful service here at Dallas Universal Life Church. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, help me break it down. Get the list. I did not sign off on the round table, so I need to sign off on that also. Let me just fill the petition out and sign it off. Okay, you're in charge tonight again. Okay, so you're in charge of the list. Get it done, and get it to me. You'll get it signed off. Nobody leaves, so it's signed off.